is good. Well, it's good to be here tonight. There's no better night to be in church. Glad to be able to share with you guys tonight. Pretty excited. A little bit sorry about my voice. I've been a bit sick. So I'll be drinking plenty of water, but at least you'll know I'm hydrated, which is always a bonus when you're preaching. But if you want to open your Bibles up or your device up to Genesis 25:24, we're just going to read a little bit on Esau. So when Rebekah's days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. First came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and not the smartest bloke. No, I added that. While Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." And Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Would you just bow your heads while I pray? Jesus, we just give this night to you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for these times that we can meet together. And I just pray that you'd speak through these words, Jesus, that they'd be your words and that we'd have open hearts to receive them and to hear your voice, Jesus. And just pray these things in your name. Amen. Mic up. It's been a bit quiet. So who's excited for Christmas? Hands up. So at least like 10 of you. That's awesome. We're like exactly 29 days till Christmas. 26 till I finish work, but you know, who's counting? And Christmas itself, for me, it's a little different this year. We are the only sibling at home. Also the only sibling that loves mum and dad. But it will be. It'll be a little bit different. But I'm really excited. It's a great season. Cricket's back on. It's nice and warm. And I'll be at the beach like a fair bit this season, which I'm pretty excited for. And if I'm honest, Christmas is the thing that's kind of been getting me through work the last couple of months. I wouldn't be lying if I said that my daily pep talks at work to myself consisted of, "It's only a few more weeks till Christmas, you can get through." Or, "Once you finish today, it's one less day till Christmas." To say the least, motivation for work's been a little bit low, and I'm looking forward to the new year to be revitalised and refreshed and ready to smash out 2018. I don't know how you guys feel, but it's so easy to get to the end of the year and just kind of want to cruise, just go with the flow. It's times like Monday mornings that I relate best to Esau and would trade just about anything for it to be Christmas Day instead of another day at work. Work's great when you've got the energy and the drive, but it's hard when you're tired and you know a holiday is just around the corner. It's so easy to want to just tap out and go into survival mode rather than run harder and thrive and really finish the year well. So I want to talk about three reasons why I, and I think some of you guys, want to tap out sometimes in situations that we've been placed in. Whether that's our spiritual walk, or our work, or the people whose lives we're involved in. So I'll give all three reasons to you now. The first one is short-sightedness, or you could call it Esau's disease. The second one I'd call us interpreting things from the wrong perspective. And number three is that we don't feel that we're equipped enough for the tasks that we've been given. So to start with is number one, and suffering from short-sightedness or the Esau condition. It's really easy when you're tired to lose the vision, to forget the promises that God's spoken to us, and to make decisions based on what our needs are at the time. It's really hard to relate to Esau when, you know, things are really good, when you've got a lot of energy, when you've just been to like Hillsong Conference and they're just like talking about the promises of God and you're filled up. It's really hard to be like, why would you give all that away for like a meal? I don't understand. Lost my place. But what happens when life kicks in again and Monday rolls around and then Tuesday rolls around and before you know it, you're at the end of November? When I'm tired and I'm juggling different things, I can totally relate to Esau. And I think most of you can too. I mean, if you've ever been hungry, like really, really hungry, there's nothing like just smashing down a good burger and some fries. I don't really understand like his fascination with lentil stew. Like, I'm not really into that. But burger and fries sounds pretty good. And if it's all that's available, you'd pay a pretty expensive price for it. So Esau traded his blessing for food. And that's hard for us to understand in our culture, I think, because food's so readily available. Is you take like just a small walk to your refrigerator and there's food right there, or you go down to Woolworths and buy more. But in our culture, there's plenty of other things that we give up for the blessings of God. Plenty of young men and women, they really desire a relationship that's intimate with someone else. And too many traded in for just a cheap version, cheap instant version of love, forgetting the blessings of God and the things that they've been promised for something that meets their needs at the time. Or maybe it's when life starts to get tough that you tap out and you decide that you'll just chuck on some Netflix. We live in a Netflix generation. It's super easy to do and everything's at your hand, ready to go. But it's so dangerous when we use it as a way to get out of reality and we get stuck in that place. Maybe it's an identity thing, and instead of going the full way to learn your identity from God, your true identity, you settle for people's highlight reels on Instagram. What things do you settle for instead of God's blessings when you're tired? More often than not for me, it's sleeping in for an extra hour instead of getting up to devotions, while 7 alarms go in that hour and I don't have that good sleep anyway. I have an alarm on my phone at the moment that says, you're only missing out on your own blessings. That way, when my alarm goes off in the morning, there's a little bit of conviction to help get me up. But I'm still working on that. It's not quite enough yet. As we head towards the end of the year, it'd be really easy for us to just ride the wave into the shore of 2018. To wind down, to switch off, to tap out. Don't get me wrong, we absolutely need rest over this period of time. And it's essential to us to really thrive. But I sense that God wants to do more in our lives over the next 4 weeks. Let's not wait until 2018 to start pressing into what God has for us, but let's be renewed and refreshed by His Spirit now so that we have a head start into next year. I think that when we're tired and life starts to happen, it's really easy as well to just start seeing things from a perspective that may not be healthy. And this leads me into the second one. And I'd call it also misinterpretation. I love Joseph. Joseph is my number one biblical hero after Jesus because he didn't die for me. And he's just such a lad. He's all time. And I'm a big fan. He was a modern day apprentice before his time, if you think about it. He was sold into slavery. He works too hard and doesn't get paid enough or anything. And he gets in trouble for stuff that he didn't do. So I can relate to this guy. I love him. But the thing that really captures me about Joseph is I love his perspective at the end of Genesis chapter 50. And it says here, Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see, you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Easy now, you have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children," he reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. I love that. He gets sold into slavery by his brothers, has every single chance to stitch him up and get revenge. And instead, he takes a moment to step back and get God's perspective. He says, "Man, like these people aren't surviving if I don't intervene here. I've been used and put here to be able to save lives." And that's awesome. Of all the people that had a reason to tap out, it was Joseph. But he chose not to. He could have gotten really bitter, could have chosen to be angry. But he chose it as an opportunity to help his family and to really step into a role that God had for him. I love this quote by Craig Groeschel. "If you hate your situation, then change it. But if you can't change it, change your perspective." And it's been my personal challenge recently to change my mindset from, heck yeah, it's only 4 weeks till Christmas, to, man, I only got 4 weeks to be able to speak life and truth into my workmates' lives. I've only got 4 weeks to see breakthrough in my workplace. I've only got 4 weeks to see breakthrough spiritually. I've only got 4 weeks to see all these things that I've been praying for all year come to fruition in Christ. That's kind of scary. That means I need to start praying a heck of a lot more. Because I'm hoping for that. I'm really believing for that. And I hope that your perspective changes too. That it wouldn't just be, oh yeah, like let's get through till Christmas and then pick up where we left off in January. But it'd be like, let's nail some goals now. We've got 4 weeks to see breakthrough. And I really believe that God is wanting to bring breakthrough to the spheres that we are in. Remember this, and this is another one of my favorite quotes, is distance creates distortion, so we bridge the gap with communication. And I'll say that again. Distance creates distortion, so we bridge the gap with communication. Which means, if you want to get God's perspective on things going on in your life, you've just got to communicate with him. Super easy. It's like when you're driving and you see like a sign way off in the distance and you're like, oh, it could be like a 100 sign. I don't actually know what the speed is at the moment, but I'm going 120. It could be a 100 sign. And then you start coming closer to it and things get clearer. Well, the closer you get to God, the clearer things get, the more you get his perspective. Tap in, don't tap out. And I want to just take this moment really quickly to talk a little bit about why we promote living generously so much as well. Just feel like it's a big part of our identity as Just Church to live generous lives. And I've always loved the verse, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And it's so true. But recently I've been really processing that and what that means. And I realized that when you give, it changes your perspective. It changes perspective from what's in your wallet to what God's going to do with what you used to have, or what he's given you. And that's why it's so blessed. It's so blessed when your money is out of your hands. Something Judah Smith said is, if you've got $200 to pay a $500 bill, well, that's never going to work. So give the $200 to God and then just see what he'll do with it, because he's going to cover your needs, which is like bold faith, but we need that kind of faith. Super cool. So I don't know about you guys, but I feel more often than not that the tasks that God gives me, I'm ill-equipped for. That they're too big, I don't know even where to begin with most of the tasks that God has set me to, and most of the spheres in my life that I'm in and told to influence. And if you're in the same boat, I hope this next little bit will encourage you. I often hear the quote thrown around that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I don't think that there's been a truer quote for Noah than any other quote in the world. I always assumed growing up that no one knew how to build a bark, an ark, not a bark. That he, yeah, knew how to build an ark, that he was a boat builder or a carpenter. Maybe they just like built for fun. But in the Bible, it says nothing about Noah having any skills that relate to building an ark. I'm a carpenter. I don't know the first thing about building an ark. If God was like, build an ark, I'd be like, can you find someone else, please? That scares the daylights out of me, especially when the fate of the world rests on that boat. He might not even have known how to dress the timber up for building. He was just a man that would have put up tents and farmed, totally unqualified. Yet God called him to a task that was much greater than himself and said, I'll back you. And now it's the only ark that anyone ever talks about. I don't know if anyone talks about any other ark, which is pretty cool. So maybe your task is, excuse me. Maybe your task is to disciple someone or to be in a situation that feels way too out of your depth. And discipleship's intimidating. It's scary. There's so many things that get thrown your way that you don't know how to handle. But we're called to it. And when we're called to it, God equips us. And if it's difficult, you're probably in the right spot. Don't tap out, tap in. So there's 26 days until Christmas. How cool would it be if we're a community that was known as a group of people who sprint the last 100 metres in the year? That finish the year really strong, a community that finishes the year with a vision for next year. But one that starts that vision the year before. Just want to give a little recap, and then I'm out of here. Everyone's happy for and go eat. So number one, Esau got tired and he lost sight of the vision. But let's keep the vision. Let's keep reminding each other as a community of the promises of God, the good things of who we are, of what he's planned for us. Nothing keeps us out of trouble like the reminder of what God is doing in our lives. Number two, Joseph got God's perspective on a tough situation. Let's do the same. In all things, we should seek God's perspective. And number three, Noah was equipped after he was called. Let's have faith that God will do the same with us. I love that God never does anything that's outside of his identity and what he said he'll do. It's just so encouraging. So I hope you've been encouraged by this message. I'm just going to end in prayer and then hand back over to Steve. Yeah, Jesus, we just bring you these last 4 weeks of 2017. We ask you, Lord, just to use them, Father. And if there's been times where, we've tapped out instead of pressing into you, Jesus, we just ask for your forgiveness and ask that you do a work in us, Father, that you would refresh us for these next 4 weeks, that you'd re-energize us, Father, and you'd give us a really renewed passion to see your will be done and your kingdom come. Jesus, here as it is in heaven, Father, we just ask that, you'd just fill us up in your name. Amen.